All right, let's open our Bibles now to 2 Timothy. Now, this epistle, which is addressed to Timothy, whom Paul called his son in the ministry, was written when Paul was in the last months of his own ministry, when the apostle was a prisoner in Rome, knowing that he would soon be martyred. So it was written just a short time before his death, to which he mentions in the last chapter of 2 Timothy. And the design of this epistle, as I understand it, is really fourfold. In chapter 1, if you look first of all at chapter 1, verse 6, the design of this epistle, number 1, is to stir up young Timothy, stir him up to the faithful discharge of the ministry God's given him. In verse 6 of 2 Timothy 1, Paul said, "Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on of my hands." It's so easy for us to get lethargic and careless and indifferent and to be taken up with unimportant things. And this is what Paul is saying to Timothy. I want you to stir up this gift of God which is in you. You have a gift. You have an ability God's given you. Stir it up, because verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but God has given to us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So be not thou therefore ashamed of the gospel of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, the testimony of our Lord. Don't be ashamed of me, Paul said, his prisoner. Don't be ashamed of those who preach the gospel. But you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So I believe that's the first design of this epistle, to write to Timothy and tell him to stir up that gift of God in him, what God's done for him and taught him, and faithfully discharge the ministry God has given you with all your might, with all your strength. Sometimes we older folks get a little bit tired and we get a little weary of the way, and maybe we can become a little careless and indifferent about the things of our God. And it's not to be. All right, the second thing, I believe in verse 13 of this same chapter, second design of this epistle is to encourage Timothy to hold fast, get a good grip on sound doctrine and the sound words which he had heard and which he had been taught. Listen to him in verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. I tell you, men often turn away from their teachers and turn away from those who taught them the gospel. And sometimes they turn away from the truth. Sometimes they feel like that their methods and their means are a little more advanced than the old teachers, and maybe that they can be more successful. But it can't be. It's the same Bible. It's the same gospel. Men are the same. And the means we use and the methods we use and the message we preach is the same message Paul preached 2,000 years ago. Don't succumb to your day. Don't succumb to the ways of your day. Don't be conformed to the things of your day, thinking that you can put this message in a different dress and make it more attractive. Can't do it. And when you take the edge off the gospel, you take the strength out of the gospel. When you take the offense out of the gospel, you take the strength away. Paul said one time, he said, if I have taken the offense out of the gospel, then why do I suffer persecution? This persecution comes because of the offense of the gospel. Now the third thing, he urges him, and I ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. He urges Timothy to be strong in the grace of Christ and endure whatever trials and sufferings he may be called upon to bear. He says in 2 Timothy 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, I'm not the only preacher of God's grace, he said, there are many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Whatever trials that you're called upon to bear, whatever sufferings you're called upon to bear, do it as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. And then verse 4, he says, Timothy, now here's the thing to avoid. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. There's no such thing as a part-time soldier. He does not become entangled in the things of this world and promoting the things of this world and giving himself to the things of this world. It just doesn't fit the gospel message and the gospel testimony. So no man that really warreth, that's in this battle, entangleth himself with the affairs of life that he may please him who chose him, who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now turn to 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 3. And here's the fourth thing. He wrote to Timothy, stir up the gift of God that's in you. Hold fast sound words and doctrines that you've been taught. Hold fast to them. You can't improve on the gospel. The word is finished. It's complete. God's absolute, indisputable, infinite sovereignty is established, and you can't improve on it or take the edge off of it. Man's utter depravity, God's covenant of mercy. It's not palatable to this world. It never has been. It will never be, and we're not going to make it so. Hold fast. Be strong in Christ, and whatever trials and suffering you're called upon to bear, bear them like a good soldier. A good soldier of Christ Jesus. Now, 2 Timothy 3, Paul warns him of false preachers and false religionists that would arise in war against the gospel. It's always been so. Peter said that as there were false prophets in Israel, there'll be false teachers among us. It's always been so. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. This know also. It's just so. It's always been true. It's true now. that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They don't love God. They love themselves. They love God as they're able to make God serve their purposes. They're covetous, boasters, proud people, blasphemers. So careless about the use of the name of God and the word of God. Disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. That's our day. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. Denying the power. Power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of Christ, the heaven. Impotent God now. Denying the power that from such turn away. Turn away. You can't walk with them. You've got to turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. This refers to the feminine influence in religion then as well as today. In the pulpit, on the television, God never called women to preach the gospel. He never called women to lead his church, not in any shape, form, or fashion. To usurp authority in any way. He called men to do that and women to be in subjection to those men. If they would learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not so. And that's these silly women laden with sin, emotionalism, superstition, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, always studying and teaching and learning, but never, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now he warns that those days will arise. Look at verse 13. And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving people and being deceived. He's talking about religion now. Evil men, seducers, merchandisers of souls, hucksters, wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Now then, there should be no chapter division between chapter 3 and 4. There should be no division there. Paul's, and I entitled this message, Paul's Final Instructions for God's Preachers. And so he says to Timothy in verse 14, I'll give you three or four words. Here's the first one. But, continue. That's the word, continue. That's the first word, continue. Although wickedness prevails and false doctrine abounds and the enemies of Christ rise up in religion and outnumber those who preach the truth, temptations arise, Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Stay there. And you have been, those things that you've learned and you have been assured of, knowing of whom you learned them. Stay with the gospel. Now then, God does not call a man and then reveal the gospel to him. God does not call a man and save him and even call him to preach and then teach him the gospel. That's not so. If the Lord is pleased to call a man to save him, to put him in the ministry of the gospel, the first thing he'll do is teach him the gospel. Now that's so. He'll teach him the gospel. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. If God saves a man and calls him by his grace, he saves him and calls him by that gospel. by that gospel of grace. You can't continue in what you've never heard. You can't continue in what you've never learned. And Paul is saying to Timothy that you learned the gospel. You've been taught the gospel. And that gospel doesn't change. When God saved you, when God called you, when God revealed himself to you, he called you, saved you, and revealed himself through the gospel of his grace. You stay in that gospel. You'll grow in grace, and you'll grow in that gospel, but that gospel never changes. You stay right there in that gospel. Now listen to 2 Timothy 2:13. But we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you. How? By our gospel. Not a gospel. Our gospel. And Paul was so taken up with this gospel and so certain of this gospel, he said, if anybody preach any other gospel, I don't care if it's an angel from heaven, let him be accursed. That's the gospel he's talking about. And God called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Called you by our gospel. Now you continue in that gospel. You can't continue in something you've never heard, something you've never learned, something you've never been taught, and something hadn't been revealed to you, but when it is and when it has been, stay with it. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Listen to the apostle here. Ephesians chapter 1, and he talks about the work of the Father in our redemption, the work of the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 13, in whom you trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. That's when you trusted. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. That's when you trusted. When is a man saved? Well, he's saved when it pleases the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord. That's when he's saved, when it pleases God to save him. Not when he makes his decision, not when he turns over a new leaf, not when he joins the church, when it pleases God. And a man saved when God Almighty, through the Spirit of God, reveals the gospel to him and gives him a Redeemer to trust. That's when he's saved, when he learns the gospel. Of his own will beget he us through the word of truth. Now go back to my text. But God uses human means. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the gospel to the heart and brings a man to believe on Christ. But God uses human means. Now look at verse 15. He told Timothy in verse 14, you continue. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. You learned them of the Holy Spirit of God. You learned them from the Word of God. You learned them from the preacher God sent you. And then, watch verse 15. And Timothy, you, from a child. Now, there are a whole lot of young people sitting here tonight who can identify with Timothy right here. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Not that you were saved from a child. Not that you believed them. Not that you had received them. Not that you had committed to Christ. Not that you had passed from death into life. But you knew those scriptures which are able to save your soul and make you wise to salvation and bring you to trust Christ. You've known them from a child. That's true of you young people sitting here right now. You're hearing things. And they don't grip your heart yet. You don't really, preacher talks about sin, you don't see it in the light that God sees it. And some of these folks that have come to faith in Christ, you don't see sin in that light. You don't see your need of a Redeemer. You don't see your need of a Savior. You don't see and fear death and judgment and hell. About all you're taken up right now, taken up with, is school and books and friends and play and fun and games. And that's all right, you're young. You go on. I think we try to make them grow up too fast. I think they need to be children. I think some of you mamas make your daughters grow up too fast. Let them be children. Let them be 13, 14, 15 years old. They don't need to date and run around and try to act like a grown woman. They're not grown, they're children. And you daddies don't need to put burdens on these boys. Let them be boys. Let them play. Let them have fun. But Paul tells Timothy here, as a boy, you heard the gospel. You heard the scriptures. Let me show you. Hold that right there and turn to 2 Timothy 1. You know from whom he heard it? It says in verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that's in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother. Some of you children identify with that right there. Your grandmother, grandfather. And in your mother, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded now in you too. But from a child, they read to you and they taught you. That's what we're doing here in these Bible classes. And we don't pull decisions out of these children. They hear the scriptures. And they can know, memorize these scriptures. And then in God's good time, leave them alone. Don't put the pressure on them. Pray for them. Teach them the Word of God. Paul said, Timothy, from a child you've known the scriptures, you've known the truth, that are able to make you wise unto salvation when God's pleased to reveal them to you. That's exactly when God's pleased. Your ears, you hear them with these ears. Someday you hear them right here. Someday. I don't know when, but someday. But these scriptures are able to make you. Now, Timothy, you learn from your parents. You learn from your mother and grandmother. You learn from me. You learn from the scriptures. You're taught by the Holy Spirit. Now he says you continue in these things. Continue. Oh, it's the good life. It's the good hope. Stay in it. Continue in it. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Turn to Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. Continue. That's a big word. Through these years in the ministry, I've seen a lot of folks that didn't continue. And I guess you could say if they don't continue, they never were in the faith. That's what John said. But he says in Colossians 1, verse 21, listen, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable, unreprovable in his sight, if you continue. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled. The faith, one faith. The faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. And be not moved away by whatever influence. Do not be moved away from the hope of that gospel, which you've heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Continue in that gospel. Continue in the Word of God. All right, back to our text, 2 Timothy. Continue. You know, Paul, when he wrote the book of Hebrews, says, Christ is a son over his house, whose house we are, if we continue. Hold fast the profession of our faith firm unto the end. Continue. A lot of folks don't. Now then, here's the second thing he said to Timothy. Continue. That's the first. Here's the second one. I'm going to start reading with verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. All scriptures God breathed. Scripture says holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write these things. God breathed. All scripture. All right. And it's profitable for doctrine. Scriptures alone. That's where we get our doctrine. Not what we think, not what our church believes, but God says. And the scriptures profitable for reproof, reproof of error and heresy, false teaching. And the scripture is profitable for correction, correction of attitude and spirit and practice. And the scripture is profitable for instruction in regard to every duty, every deed, our walk in regard to men and God. That the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, watch him. He's coming to this. So I charge you. I charge you. Here's the second word. I charge you, therefore, before God. I charge you before God who chose us. I charge you before Almighty God who called us by His grace. I charge you before God who made you His own, if He has. And I charge you before the Lord Jesus Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us, who died on the cross for our sin. I charge you before Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. I charge you before Christ the King, who shall judge all men at His coming. He'll judge even the quick and the dead. He'll judge those who are alive and those who are dead when He comes. I charge you. Verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. There's Paul's final instructions to young Timothy. Continue. Continue. Spurgeon said one time, he said, when God revealed the gospel to me and I started preaching, 16 years of age, I have not moved one tithe, that's a tenth, not one tenth, from that position to this present day when he was 56 years old, 40 years. I have not changed my message one iota. I have not changed in one. I'm sure that he grew in understanding of the word. But he contended he had not moved one tenth of an inch from where he started when God revealed the gospel to his heart. Continue. If it's so then, it's so now. If it's the gospel that saved you, it'll take that gospel to save people to whom you preach. If God redeemed you by His grace, by His mercy, by His sovereign power through the blood of His Son, then that's what it'll take to save anybody to whom you witness. They'll be saved the same way you are. So you continue. Now he says, and you preach that word. You preach that word. How can we do otherwise? One of the men said this morning going out, he said how he enjoyed and how he appreciated the verse-by-verse treatment of God's Word, how we read it and we preached it. How could we do otherwise? For it's the Word of God that reveals our God. This is what our Lord did. Turn to Luke 24. Let me show you something here. This is what our... You know, the Lord didn't call His preachers to be clever. He called them to preach Christ. He didn't call His preachers to entertain people. We're not entertainers. He called His people to edify, His preachers to edify His people. And when our Lord Jesus Christ sat down with His disciples, do you know what He did? Listen to Luke 24, verse 44. Luke 24, 44. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Preach the Word, Paul says to Timothy. Preach the Word. It's the Word that reveals our God. It's the Word that reveals Christ's covenant. It's the Word that reveals His will of redemption. It's the Word that reveals His purpose in Christ. It's the Word that reveals our state and nature and sin. It's the Word that convicts men of sin. It's the Word of God by which men are quickened to life. It's by the Word of God that faith comes. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's the Word of God and the preaching of that Word by which men are saved. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. God hath chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It's by the Word of God that comfort comes. It's by the Word of God that we grow in grace. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I'll tell you this. It's this Word that's going to judge us. I want you to hold your place and turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Listen to this. John 12, beginning with verse 47. And oh, that not only the preachers here, Paul's saying to young Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. But I say that to every believer here. Get in the Word. Get into this Word. And study it. Listen to verse 47 of John 12. And if any man hear my words and believe not, and I say this, we're going to be held responsible and accountable not only for what we heard, but what we could have heard. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. I didn't come to judge the world. To say, I came to save. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The Word that I've spoken. That'll judge you. The Word that I spoke. But I didn't hear it. You could have heard it. But I was busy on something else. This is most important business. But I didn't have the interest. Could have had. There it is. The words that I've spoken, the same will judge him in that last day. Verse 49, for I've not spoken of myself. And I think every God-called, true preacher of the gospel can say that. I haven't spoken of myself. But the Father which sent me, He gave me the commandment. He gave me the word, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know His commandment is life everlasting. In His word is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. All right, back to our text, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the Word. And be instant in season and out of season. There's no season for preaching the gospel. There's no special season at all times. Preach the Word. Preach the Word of God. Rebuke. Reprove, exhort with all patience and doctrine. Now watch verse 3. For the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. And that time, if it ever has been, it is today. They will not endure it. In fact, they'll tell you, we don't want to hear doctrine. Tell us about Jesus, but don't preach doctrine. Well, there'll come a time when they won't endure it. They don't want preachers who speak with authority. They don't want preachers who preach the Word of God. They want preachers who will preach what they want to hear. Entertain them. He says, listen to this. After their own lusts, They'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's not only the people who have the itching ears. What are itching ears? They like to be tickled. They like to be pleased. They like to hear what they want to hear. That's what they enjoy. And the preachers enjoy being complimented for pleasing the people. They enjoy it. That works both ways. The preachers preach what people want to hear, and folks want to hear it, and so everybody's happy. The preacher's happy, and the people are too, and the blind's leading the blind. They all fall in the ditch. So that time's coming. Verse 4, and they'll turn away their ears from the truth and be turned to fables. Fables. All right, here's the third word and last word. First, continue. Continue in the things which you've learned. Stay where you are. Don't change your message, if it's God's message. If it saves you, it'll be what saves anybody. There's just one gospel. A man learns that gospel. It's traumatic, climactic. It's a new life. It's a new view. It's a new heart. It's a new nature. It's a new Bible. It opens up. You'll know. Well, I said, how do I know when the Lord saves me? Well, how do you know when the sun comes up? You can see. You can see. You can hear. Have some understanding. Well, I say way back, John, I just came to this understanding. No, no. No, you weren't saved back then. You've always been one of God's sheep, if you are now. But a person is saved and called when he hears the gospel, when he learns only one gospel. That's when God saved him. Now, you can write that down. You can't be saved worshiping a false Christ. You can't be saved worshiping an impotent God. You can't be saved thinking you did it. He did it. It's of grace or it's of works. It's not both. That's just so. But once you learn that gospel, continue in it, and hold fast, and preach that truth. Now, here's the third word. In verse 5, and watch. Oh, Timothy, watch. Watch thou in all things. God calls his servants what? Watchmen. I have made thee a watchman. That's what he says. I've made you a watchman. Watch. And this goes for God's people too. Well, what does a watchman do? Well, first of all, a watchman has a trust committed to him. God has entrusted me with the gospel. The master has given me a great responsibility. The master has given to me and to this church and to you elders and other young preachers, God has given us a grave and great responsibility, the care of his gospel, the preaching of his gospel, and the care of his precious sheep. God has entrusted me with the gospel. What would you say is nearer to the heart of God than anything else? I'd say his gospel, the gospel of his Son. That's his chief glory, the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. And he's given that to us to preach. To preach. Dare we compromise it? Like Paul said to Timothy here, he talked about him being able to teach other men. He said, be strong in the grace of Christ, and what you've heard, the same commit to faithful men. Take that gospel and pass it on. Don't water it down. Pass it on in its purity, in its beauty, in its truth, the gospel. You've been trusted. I tell you, you know, a person who's trusted with a man's greatest treasure has a tremendous responsibility to discharge his duty and to do it with all his heart. Something that's been of great concern to me through the years is when I run into folks that don't feel this responsibility like I feel like they ought to. That maybe if they have time from all their other activities, they'll discharge a duty that God's given to them in His name. I think about I come up here, and whoever comes up here also, or wherever we serve our God, if we were going to address the Congressional Assembly, we'd probably prepare 2 or 3 days, wouldn't we? We'd probably give it a lot of care and thought. Well, this is more important than anything you might say to them. If you were going to do anything in this world to maybe secure your job a little better or your other things, you give it a great deal of care. But to me, this is far more superior to that than anything you can do. It really is. It's a heavy responsibility. Secondly, what does a watchman do? It's his responsibility to feed the sheep. Ezekiel 34, let me show you something over here. A few more minutes and I'll wind this up. Let's turn to Ezekiel 34. Listen to this. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. A watchman, he has a trust committed. His master has given him a great responsibility. Second, it's his responsibility to feed the sheep. Listen to Ezekiel 34, 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy against them and say to them, Thus saith the Lord to the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat. Where do they get the fat? From the sheep. You clothe you with the wool. Where do they get the wool? From the sheep. You kill the sheep because they want some mutton or whatever. You feed yourself, but you don't feed them. Woe unto you. It's the shepherd's responsibility, first of all, to feed the sheep. That's what Christ said to Peter, feed my sheep. And then another thing, a watchman gives the time of the night. And fourthly, a watchman looks for danger. And he warns people. They don't always heed his warning, but he warns them. They don't always listen to him, but that's his responsibility, to warn them. Warned them. They better listen. You know, he said over there in Hebrews. Let me show you this in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, 17. You see this thing of preaching. If God's not in it, it's a waste of time. But if God's in it, if God's in the preaching, I've said this many times, if I'm not his man, you'd be wise to find the person that is. If these men who are preaching here, elders, are not speaking for God, then we'd be wise to get someone who does. But if they are, and they speak a word of exhortation, and a word of rebuke, and a word of reproof, and a word of instruction, a word of warning, we don't hear them. Listen to this, Hebrews 13, 17. Obey them. That's listen to them. Do what they say. That guide you, that have the rule over you, submit yourselves. They watch for your souls. They're going to have to give an account. A watchman has to give an account.